Church is always good. You can come back to that conversation straight after in the hospitality area. That would be lovely. Thank you. I want to start by reading the resurrection story from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read quite a few verses, so just stay with me more than we normally would. But I think it's important on days like today to read the whole story, to read the whole account of what took place on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Our title this morning is Restored. Restored. Let me see. It's Luke 27 verse 57. It says, as evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who was one of Jesus' followers, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. And then he rolled a great stone across the entrance as he left. And both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting nearby watching. The next day, on the first day of the Passover ceremonies, the leading priest and Pharisees went to see Pilate. And they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive, that after 3 days I would be raised from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. And this will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he came back to life. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." And Pilate replied, "Take guards, secure it the best that you can." And so they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. Early on the Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Big things happen when angels come down. Big things happen when angels come down. The angel came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. And his face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. And then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. Just as he said would happen. He has died. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where the body was lying. And now go quickly. Tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember, I have told you." So the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy as they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. "Greetings." Don't you love the way Jesus shows up? "Greetings," he said. And they ran to him, held his feet, worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." As the women were on their way to the city, some of the men who had been guarding the tomb went to the leading priest and told them what had happened. A meeting of all the religious leaders was called, and they decided to bribe the soldiers. They told the soldiers, "You must say that Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you and everything will be all right." And so the guards accepted the bribe and they said what they were told to say, and their story spread widely among the Jews and they still tell it today. Can I remind you today that we've also got a story? We've also got a story that we spread and we tell, and it's still told to this day. The story of the soldiers was they stole his body. They stole his body. But the church and the disciples and the apostles and all of the believers of the day, they also had a story. And the story was this: he died, he was buried, he's not here, he's alive, and he lives forevermore. That's the story of Resurrection Sunday. I want to share a very simple thought today, but a profound thought in terms of implications that it has for every one of our lives. See, this Easter weekend, the Easter holiday that we celebrate, it has two components. It has a Friday and it has a Saturday. Friday is all about the day Jesus went to the cross. And a lot of people are okay with that. They understand that. They respect that. They can comprehend that. They can work that out, that Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. I think the part that we all struggle with and most people really struggle over is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is somebody coming back to life, returning from the grave after 3 days and conquering death. That part a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people understand and appreciate that Jesus paid the penalty, paid the price for our sins, so that the world can be forgiven of its humanness, of its sinfulness, and healed of its brokenness. We understand that side of the story. But the side of the story where Jesus rose from the dead, that's a little bit more of a conflict for some people to understand how that transaction has taken place. Can I remind you today that Jesus has died for your sins? Let me tell you about hell for just a moment. This is a good news weekend, so I'm not going to spend much time on hell, but I'm just going to tell you how to go to hell. Have you ever had someone say that to you? Go to hell? Go to hell. You know how you go to hell? You go to hell by just deciding you're going to pay your own price. Because that's what hell is. Hell is not a place for bad people. Hell is a place for good people who want to pay their own price for their own sins. And here's the stupidity of that. It's like being in a restaurant. And if we can dumb it down to a restaurant level, because when it comes to food, we all get it. If we talk about food, we all understand and we smile straight away. We mention food. So if we're all in a big restaurant called the world, Jesus came into our world and said, my shout, I'm taking care of it, my deal. I paid the bill for you so you don't have to pay. Do you know what hell is? Hell is trying to pay for a meal that you can't afford. Hell is trying to pay for something that you can't actually pay and you can't satisfy the righteous demands of God the Father. Jesus can, he did, he has. He's paid the bill, walked out of the restaurant and said, I've done it all for you. Stupidity is trying to continue to pay for it yourself and ending up in hell because you tried to pay a bill that you could not pay. That's what hell's for. Hell's not for bad people. People aren't bad. People aren't bad. God so loved the world is what it says. It just didn't say God loves the good ones, because who are the good ones? Who's the good ones? Who's the good guy? Who's the good girl? We're all good guys, we're all good girls, but we all have sin and brokenness that needs to be healed, and that's what this weekend is all about. So here's my thought. If the Friday part, when Jesus died for our sins, was so complete, was so powerful, if Friday actually took care of everything, why do we need a Sunday? Why do we need a resurrection? Why did Jesus actually need to rise from the dead? And is it important that I believe that he rose from the dead? And I want to say right up front, it's absolutely essential. It's essential that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's essential that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead to be followers and believers in Jesus Christ. Here's some quick reasons why Jesus rose from the dead. The first one is to prove that what he said, what he claimed, to prove what he claimed was actually true. Do you know, it's one thing to make a claim, but it's another thing to follow it through. It's one thing to say you can do it, but to do it, that's a whole new deal. Because to die on a cross, well, anyone could do that. We could put you on a cross and kill you today. We could do that. As I said on Friday, crosses and people dying on crosses was not unusual in that day. If you were a criminal, there's a good chance you were going to end up nailed to a cross. Caesar Augusta had 3,000 people crucified to crosses on one day. On one day. So the day they had three crucified on Golgotha when Jesus was crucified was no different to any other day for the Roman Empire. No different at all. They just killed some criminals was their perspective. Anyone could die, but not anyone could rise from the dead. And Jesus said, yes, kill me, but I will be raised from the dead in 3 days. So he did it so that the claim that he would be raised from the dead would be proven true. Why did Jesus need to rise from the dead? To prove what he said was true. To prove what he said was true. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says this. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. You see, everything I believe, everything you believe as a follower of Jesus Christ is based on the resurrection of Jesus. If that's not true, then you're still in your sins. If that's not true, then your faith is useless and we've wasted our time, is what the Apostle Paul says. So Jesus did it to prove that what he said was true. And then finally, Jesus rose from the dead to conquer death, not only for himself, but also for us. To conquer death, not only for himself, but also to conquer death for us. You You see, what we're doing today, celebrating the historical event and the historical facts of the resurrection, that's a good thing to do. That's a commendable thing to do. And people do it all over the world. They come to church, and for some people, they come to church at Easter and Christmas, and that's it. It's a devout thing that they do, and that's a good thing to celebrate the actual historical event. But more importantly than the event of Easter is the experience of Easter. God wants us personally to experience Easter, that the resurrection of Jesus would provide actual power for us in the way that we live, so that our lives come alive. Our lives come alive in Christ through the power of the resurrection. So Christ conquered the grave not only for himself, he also conquered it for us. In the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, a scary book of the Bible, it's a book that's difficult to understand. In that book, there's a verse where Jesus appears to John, who's an apostle. He's a close friend of Jesus. Jesus appears to him after the resurrection, and this is what he says in Revelation 1:18. He says, "I am the living one." Note his title. "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death, and I hold the keys of the grave." I love the fact that one of Jesus' titles is the living one. The living one. And the living one died, but he is alive again. And he says, "I hold these keys." Can I suggest to you today that Jesus holds the keys to life, and Jesus holds the keys to death? He holds the keys to everything that we need in our lives to live our lives and move life forward. Many people, they've had the Friday experience of their sins forgiven, and they know and they're confident that they're going to heaven. But for many of those people, they're still walking around with a sense of death in their heart and their lives and their behaviours and their spirit. There's destruction and there's ultimately misery. Maybe going to heaven, but there's a sense of misery because their lives, for some, are still in ruins. You know, the Bible calls us to experience resurrection life, not just get saved and get your sins forgiven, but to experience the power of resurrected living. Paul talks about it in Philippians, where he says this in Philippians 3:10. He says, "I want to know Christ," that's salvation. "I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead." There's an experience of the resurrection power for every one of us. There's an experience of the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead for each of us. So I've got some questions I want to pose today for us all to help us experience Easter, not just celebrate the event, to really experience Christ, not just know Christ, but to really experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead. My first question for you is this, is do you know Jesus? Do you know Christ? Do you really know him? Have you experienced what the cross achieved for the whole world? You see, Jesus didn't die for those that just go to church. He died for good people. He died for people that are struggling. He died for people with destructive habits. He died for white people. He died for black people. He died for red people. He died for yellow people, even blue people, avatars, whatever color you want to be. He died. He died. He died for the whole world. He doesn't discriminate. He invites. He doesn't discriminate like we do. He invites everybody at any time to come into his kingdom. You know, the truth is, wherever you are today and whatever circumstances you find yourself in, you can change your life and the direction and the trajectory and the future of your life with one simple decision, and that is to surrender and let Jesus Christ become the Lord of your life. That's to have your sins forgiven and to really know Christ. The Bible says it's simple. See, God made it easy for us and hard for him. In Romans 10, it says this. It says, "If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So how do you know Christ? You surrender and you believe to receive Jesus into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. If you've not done that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the conclusion of my talk this morning. Secondly, the second question is, do you know the power of the resurrection? Do you really know the power of the resurrection? You may have received Christ, but do you know the power of the resurrected Spirit of Christ? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to confront the issues and the areas of your life that are dead or dying? Dead or dying. See, many love God but feel that their lives are still in ruins. Still in ruins. The good news is God's a God that rebuilds ruins. He's a God that restores ruins. He restores ruined lives and broken hearts. And He puts things together back again. If only Humpty Dumpty knew that when he fell off the wall, all the king's horses and all the king's men mightn't be able to put him together again. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead could put it all back together again. You see, people often think, well, I can be forgiven, but I can never get it back. I can be forgiven, but I can never get it back. My life will never be the same. I've ruined it, and I'm scarred forever. I've had my chances, and I've ruined everything. A lot of people live in ruins simply because they give up. Simply because they give up. Rather than give up, I want to encourage you today to look up. Look up and receive the resurrection life that Jesus has for every one of us. Because resurrection power, it brings life to dead things, and Jesus specializes in restoring dead things. We used to sing an old song in church before we had sound systems. How many of you remember the days of church before you had sound systems and lights, and we just went to church and we had an acoustic guitar? We used to sing an old song, Something Beautiful, Something Good, All My Confusion, Christ Understood. Anyone singing it in their head right now? All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life. That's what Jesus specializes in doing, in restoring people. Here's my prayer for you and I today. My prayer is this. It's Ephesians 1, where Paul prays, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Can I suggest to you today that I believe that there is resurrection power for you and for me today to restore our lives in every arena of life. It may be your marriage, it may be your money, it may be your morals, it could be any area of life, it may be your emotions today. We all need resurrection power from heaven to help us be healed in life. You see, forgiveness happens in a moment. Just in a moment of belief, forgiveness happens. And that transaction of being forgiven by God and Jesus becoming your Savior, that happens in a moment. But wholeness, that's a journey. That's a journey. Wholeness is a journey that we all take. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead, He lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that is living within you. In other words, that same presence and power that raised Jesus out of that tomb is available to raise you and I out of the ruins of life today. So wherever you are, don't give up. Don't give up. When you give up, that's when you lose it, and that's when you die in terms of your future. Don't give up. Believe for that same Spirit to raise you and I from the dead. So Easter is not just something to celebrate and remember. It's something to experience. Because we have a restorer. His name is Jesus. He's a restorer of our souls. And this is what He promised to do. He proclaimed it. In the book of Isaiah, it records it. On the day that Jesus walked into the temple, He read from this scroll, this scripture, these verses I'm going to read to you. And this is what He proclaimed. There's four big promises He gives here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and the afflicted. Anyone suffering today? Good news to you. Good news to you today is what Jesus has. He has sent me to comfort the broken-hearted, to announce liberty to captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and the day of His wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness, for God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for His own glory. And they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities long ago destroyed, reviving them, though they have lain there for many generations. Four things Jesus prophesied that he would do. Firstly, he had good news for the poor. I want you to understand today the gospel is good news. It is good news. It is good news. It's not good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. It's Jesus died for everybody. Jesus died for everybody and wants to restore our hearts. Secondly, that he would comfort the brokenhearted. If you're broken today, Jesus can put it back together. He can rebuild the ruins. It's a process, but he can rebuild it. Thirdly, he wants to have an exchange of your ashes for his beauty, to make you something beautiful, something good out of your confusion and your brokenness. And so God saves, God restores, and then God uses us to help others. It says that we will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll become strong like an oak tree. Like a big, strong, bold, beautiful oak tree. That's what your life will represent when God rebuilds the ruins of your life. How does he do it? How does God do it? I'm glad you asked that question. This is how God does it as we close today. This is how he does it. Firstly, make a choice. I'm going to stop dying. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop dying. Stop dying. In other words, stop the decay. Stop the rot. Reverse the curse. Live not from life to death. Live from death to life. Understanding there is a grave, but it's not your home. There is a heaven. There is a place that God has for every one of us. And Jesus is the only one that can reverse the curse, stop the rot, and hold the decay. Jesus said this in John 11 when he was at a funeral for a friend. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me, notice it started with that terminology of everyone. Everyone who believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? So stop dying. Secondly, start rebuilding. God doesn't want to just save us. He wants to rebuild us. He's a restorer. I love the fact that God restores things. I love seeing people restore things. I love seeing a house restored. I live in a house that is in the process of being restoring. People come up to me and say, how's the project going? Like every week I get asked that question. You know, in a week nothing much changes. In actual fact, it's been about 30 weeks since anything's been done. It's a process. It's an old Queenslander. It's going to take me the rest of my life. Do you know you are that old Queenslander? Some of you literally are. You are that old Queenslander. You're a bit flaky. Need a bit of work. Need a bit of restoration. Got a few issues. Just look at your neighbour and go, issues. Issues. Got a few? Here's the good news. God's working on you. He's not giving up on you. He never will give up on you. He's just going to keep restoring you day by day by day. So perfection, that may be your ambition. God will get you there. He might have to take you to heaven to make it happen. But he's going to get you there. He's restoring you. So start rebuilding. It's a process. It's a journey. It's day in, day out. Thirdly, stop doubting. Stop doubting whether God can rebuild you. It's kind of like $6 Million Man. How many of you remember that TV show from 50 years ago? Steve Martin. Austin. Who's Steve Martin? He must be an actor. Steve Austin. And he was all broken. And they rebuilt him. Half robot, half man. And he could do amazing things. Never give up hope. You may be a little broken today. You may walk with a limp. You may have some bruises. Emotionally, you might have some challenges. Well, welcome to humanity. You're in good company today. There's no perfect people in this church. None. You're welcome. You're welcome today. In actual fact, you fit. If you're a little broken, bruised, in need of a little bit of healing, You're in the right place today. You're in the right place today. A place to be rebuilt. So stop doubting. God says, Jesus said it, you'll become like strong, graceful oak trees. You might look like a little weed at the moment, but God's going to make you a beautiful tree, an oak tree. I planted some trees down my driveway. Four trees. They don't really look like trees at the moment. They look like a stick out of the ground with a couple of leaves on them. But one day, they're going to flame beautiful orange leaves, beautiful liquid ambers. I'm hoping to live to see them grow. It's just going to take time. You know, it takes time to grow something to be a beautiful tree. It takes time. And you take time. And don't give up on God. Stop doubting God. You may have your mess ups. You may have your goof ups. You may have your muck ups. Well, that's our family. That's the family of God. That's humanity. That's why Jesus came. Because we do have our goof ups, our mess ups, our muck ups. You may be a little bit fragile. The good news is God can turn it around, whatever it is. He can turn it around and He can make it beautiful again. Because God specializes in displaying His strength in our weakness. He said that to the Apostle Paul when Paul was having some days of doubt and anxiety over some issues he was dealing with. God said to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my power is made perfect in your weakness. It's not really about your strength. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God can turn ruins into greatness. In actual fact, God sees greatness in you and I when we've lost sight of it. And He calls it out. Let Him call it out today. Like the angel came down from heaven and sat down on the stone that He was going to roll away, and the Holy Spirit called the greatness out of the Son of God, the resurrection power. Let the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit draw it out of you today. Greatness and restoration out of ruins. And then lastly, stop dying, start rebuilding, stop doubting, and here's the big one, start living. Start living. What is life? What is living? Living is giving, and it's not just a rhyme, it's a truth. That we would rebuild the ancient ruins is what Jesus proclaimed. In other words, that we would help others rebuild their ruins. So when our ruins are coming together, that we would start investing in the lives of other people that are broken and bruised and battered and fallen short and carrying their own sins and trying to pay their own price at the restaurant of life. Help them to understand it's hell to try and pay it yourself. It's hell to try and pay it yourself. It's hell to carry the guilt of sin and the burden of sin and the brokenness of life yourself. But what a beautiful thing it is when you have a Savior, Jesus, walk alongside and say, let me take that burden. Let me take that burden. Let there be an exchange. Yours is heavy. Mine is light. Let me help you walk. Let me help you walk. You know, when you're broken, you just need someone to help you walk. And here's the truth. Who's broken? We all are. We're all broken, marred vessels, is what the Bible teaches us. So here's my invitation to you today as you stand to your feet for a moment. Would you stand with me and close your eyes for just a moment? I just want to respect the privacy of every person here because you're important today. I promise you in this moment, I'm in no way going to embarrass you or highlight you. I want to give you a discreet moment to make an exchange with heaven and to receive and pray a prayer that is going to help you put your belief in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've come into this building today and maybe you're here to see a friend get baptized in water, and you've not yet trusted in Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you're trying to work it out yourself and pay your own price, I want to give you an invitation today to believe in your heart and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. And to have forgiveness come into your heart. And that's the start of the journey. The start of the journey. Church then exists to help people rebuild life in every way. I want to give you an opportunity to start the journey with Jesus. And maybe you've made this decision years ago and you've fallen away from it. You used to go to church and you used to love God and you used to understand that you were forgiven, but you've walked well and truly away and you need to come home today. Good news is you can. The good news is you can. And the urgency is you must. Stop trying to pay your own way. and enjoy the celebration that Jesus paid for it all. Because he was the only one that could. He's the only one that could. I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand and look me right in the eye while everyone else has their eyes closed if you want to make this decision today. I'm going to pray a prayer for you on your behalf. You can stay in your seat because I'm not here to embarrass you. You see, coming into salvation is an intimate moment. Giving birth to something is always an intimate moment. And so this is just for you right now, to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Being a follower of God is simply about continuously saying yes to Jesus. And so my invitation is for you to receive God's love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness today. And to know what it is to have Jesus come alongside and help you walk this journey of life and to become the restorer of your soul and your life in every way. It's your moment right now. This is your moment. Don't miss it. This is your moment right now. If you want to make that decision today, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand right now and look me right in the eye while no one's looking around. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, would you lift up your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand. I'll ask you to put it down. Then I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, man. I'm going to pray for you. Good decision. Somebody else, is that your decision today? Is this your moment? Whoever you are, thank you, man. Put your hand down. Somebody else today, that's a great decision. Is this your moment? Is this your decision? It's just you and God right now. Lift up your hand nice and high. Let me see your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. Quickly, last time. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these two ladies that have lifted their hands today to say yes to Jesus. What a beautiful moment this is right now. When a heart opens up to the deposit of heaven to come in. As they believe, there's a divine exchange that takes place where you forgive sin and you welcome into your family. This is something no man or woman can do for themselves. This is something you've already done that we simply embrace. And I pray, help them to live from this day on, understanding and applying the fact and the truth that Jesus has paid for all my sins. And I am a daughter, I am a son of God. I thank you for that today, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Would you give those two ladies a big round of applause, please? Thank you. Come on, let's celebrate. Jesus, thank you. Being restored is a beautiful thing. Why don't you take your seats? It's a beautiful thing for those that lifted their hands, for everyone else in the building to understand what church is. Church is all about restoration. Church is about helping people to continue on the journey of knowing God and knowing God better. Knowing God intimately so that our lives are continuously restored. For those that made that decision, we help people process that decision. We'd like to give you a Bible at the conclusion of the service and get to know you for a moment. Keep you for about 5 seconds is what I'd like to do. So if you could meet me down the front at the conclusion of the service, I would greatly appreciate that. We've got a lot on today, but one of the priority things we're going to do right now is share communion together and celebrate the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. So we're going to have our service team come and hand that out right now. They're going to hand out the emblems. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want to ask you to take the cup, take a bit of biscuit, just hold it in your hand. We're going to partake together in a few moments' time. So just take it and wait. We're going to play a song for you to enjoy while we're handing out the emblems.